Okay, good morning, everyone.
Our Bible reading this morning comes from Mark 16, verses 1 to 8. You can follow along in your Bibles. The passage is also printed in the leaflets that you would have received on your way in, and you can follow along. This passage is after Jesus' death and burial, and let us now read the word of the living and the true God. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after the sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid.
Well, good morning. Happy Easter. He is risen. Amen. Well, my name's Scott. If I haven't met you yet, I'd love to meet you over morning tea this morning. And what a wonderful day to read such a wonderful message. Now, I wonder, as we come to today, it's the start of a new week. And I wonder what kind of week you've had. I wonder if anything's changed for you this past week. Maybe not much. But for a lot of people, this past week would have been a time of lots of change. For some people in the world, they might have moved home, moved street, moved suburb, moved country even. Some people have probably gotten married this past week. Some people's marriages have probably separated. Some people might have started a new job or lost a job. Some people gotten pregnant. Some people given birth. Some people might have had a serious injury or been diagnosed with a serious illness. Lots can change in 1 week, can't it? An awful lot can change in 1 week. And for the three women we just read about, an incredible amount had changed in that past week. See, just 1 week earlier, just 7 days earlier, the Sunday before, the start of the last week had started really well. They'd followed Jesus, a man who they'd been following for a long time, a man who they had seen do miracles, who they had heard speak like no one else on the planet, with authority and knowledge and wisdom and love. For some of them, they had been healed, had their brothers raised from the dead, had been forgiven many sins. And these women had been following Jesus, and they followed him into Jerusalem, the city where the king would be enthroned and rule. And they followed him in, and the crowds flocked to the streets. The crowds rolled out the red carpet. They put their own coats on the ground for Jesus' donkey to walk over, and they celebrated. Here comes the king, the one God promised we've been waiting about. The next day, Monday, the women held their breath as Jesus again went into Jerusalem, went into the temple and purged it of all the vultures who'd been preying on people, who'd been desecrating the temple with their goods and their money and their greed. From Tuesday to Thursday, the women had watched as every day Jesus taught outside the temple and as the crowds got bigger and bigger and bigger, and the whispers grew. "Do you think he's the guy? I think he really might be. Did you hear about all the healings? I heard he raised a few people from the dead. I actually knew a guy. I knew him since he was a kid. He could never walk. His friends lowered him through the roof. And with a word, Jesus told him to get up. You should have seen his legs before, and he was leaping about afterwards." And then the women had seen Jesus demolish one after the other. The religious leaders carefully laid traps to try and trick him, to confuse him, to trip him up. And had seen him expose their hypocrisy one by one. And they'd marveled as Jesus foretold the destruction of Jerusalem. And so by Thursday night, after a week that seemed to be going so well, they must have been reeling when they heard the news that Jesus had been arrested. On Friday morning, they watched in horror as a bloodied and beaten Jesus was nailed to a block of wood, lifted up to die. They saw the sky go black in the middle of the day on that Friday. They heard Jesus cry out and breathe out his last. They cried and wept as Jesus' lifeless body was taken down, as it was wrapped and placed in a tomb. On Saturday, they knew the deepest grief they had ever known. In 1 week, everything had changed. On Sunday morning, they woke up. The start of a new day, a new week. The first week where the world would know no Jesus. The first week where their Savior would be dead. The first week where they would have no hope. In 1 week, everything changed. Never again would they hear his voice. Never again would they see his face. Gone forever. And so that Sunday morning, you can understand, can't you, why those women went to the tomb. They went for some closure. Because Jesus had died on the Friday afternoon and the next day was the Sabbath, a holy day, and you couldn't do anything, you couldn't bury anyone on that day. They had to quickly rush and bury Jesus on Friday afternoon, and they hadn't had time to make any plans. They hadn't had time to have a proper funeral. They hadn't had time to do the things in their custom that you do for a loved one when they die. And so these women, on Sunday morning, the first day of the first week without their Lord, went to the tomb to get some closure. Went to the tomb to say goodbye. Went to the tomb to shut the door on that part of their life and figure out what on earth they were going to do now that everything they thought they knew was a lie. The women went for closure. But what they got was the surprise of their lives. Have a look there at verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they're on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Now, there are lots of things in life that don't move, right? Have you ever driven home to find that your house is just not there anymore? It's, you know, kind of picked up and moved, you know, a block down the road. Houses don't move, do they? Or, you know, Mount Barker Summit. Imagine one day you went to jog up Mount Barker Summit, you got there and it was just flat, and the mountain had sort of picked up and move to Nan or something. See, some things just don't move. If you went to the freeway to drive into work, and then suddenly you discover that instead of just going down the hill and into town, the freeway takes a right turn at Stirling and goes all the way to Alice Springs. You know, some things just don't move, do they? And one of the things that doesn't move is big, heavy stones and dead bodies. See, but that Sunday morning, they did. So you can imagine, can't you, just how incredibly terrified these women would have been when they got to the tomb that morning. The stone is rolled back. Jesus' body is gone. The cloth that he'd been wrapped in just kind of sitting there. and then this man. This man who actually, we get a hint there, is not just a man. See, this man, we get a little bit of hint in his clothes, actually. Now, you might think that's a bit weird. How does a man's clothes tell us who he is? Well, if someone's wearing a police uniform, you've got a pretty good hint, right, who the person is. This man was wearing what? White. Now, I see a few people in here wearing white. You're much braver or at least cleaner than me. I never wear white clothes because what happens to white clothes is within a day or two, they're not white anymore. You know, I get a stain on there, a bit of spaghetti, a bit of grease from the car or something, and they're just never the same anymore. And, you know, actually back in Jesus' day, no one wore white, except for maybe a few, you know, Romans who are, you know, rich and powerful. Nobody wore white. Well, you know all those like pictures you see of Jesus? He's wearing white with like a blue sash. Load of baloney. Would have been like brown or, you know. Anyway, this guy, every time we come across in the Bible a messenger from heaven, they're described as dressed in white. And actually, in the other records of these moments, described as like brilliant, dazzling, blinding white. And this man who's dressed in white, actually, he also doesn't just speak like any other man. He speaks as a messenger from God. He confirms that they are in the right place. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes things that shouldn't move do move. Like my car. I go to the shops, I park it exactly there, and I come back, it's not in its parking space. And I think my car has moved. And then I wander around for 20 minutes till I realize I'd actually parked in a different part of the car park. No, these guys hadn't rocked up at the wrong tomb. This angel confirms it. Look what he says there in verse 6. Don't be alarmed. I know you're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He doesn't say, that's just three tombs over. He says, he has risen. He is not here. See the place where he laid him. In other words, you're in the right place. This was Jesus' tomb. But it's not Jesus' tomb anymore. Because Jesus doesn't need a tomb anymore. They haven't moved his body. He has come back to life. He has walked out under his own steam. See now, notice what he says, verse 7. Go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Now, it's a bit like, hey, Dad, where'd you put my lunchbox? Well, son, it's like I said the last three times, it's in your bag. Now, the women are like, where's Jesus? And the angel says, well, it's like Jesus told you at least three times, this was going to happen. He said he was going to die, he said he was going to rise, and he said he was going to go and meet you in Galilee. Duh, why didn't you listen to him? He has risen. He is not here. Look where he was laid. He's gone ahead to Galilee. Quickly tell the others, get yourselves over there, and you'll see him too. See, why weren't they expecting? Why? If Jesus told them so many times, why were they surprised by any of this? It shows just how real these accounts are when they're so shocked to find every single one of them. So unbelieving, even though Jesus had told them, because it just hadn't made sense. It just seemed so far-fetched. Like if I told you when you drive home today, your house is not going to be there. It's going to have moved to the next suburb over. You'd drive home and you wouldn't be like, oh, that's right, Scott told me my house wasn't going to be here. I was expecting this. No, if you drove home and your house wasn't there, you'd be like, what in the world happened to my house? See, they didn't understand. It seemed so unbelievable. They weren't expecting it at all. Houses don't move, dead people don't come to life, and this was the most amazing thing that had ever happened in the history of the world. And so, well, what happens next? Have a look at verse 8, a new dawn. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And this is actually where Mark's gospel ends. And it ends kind of abruptly, doesn't it? Like, who wants to know what happens next? I want to know what happened next, okay? Well, hang on, they're still afraid. Aren't they going to run into Jesus? Aren't they going to see him? Will they still be afraid then? They won't be afraid then. They'll be happy. And are they going to go tell the others? What are the others going to do? It just stops. Why does it just stop? Well, actually, some of the earliest Christians thought Mark should have gone a little bit further. And so there's actually some copies of Mark's gospel where they've added on a little bit at the end because they felt like it was missing something. But Mark leaves this story hanging. The women, still afraid, still haven't met Jesus, still haven't done the thing they were supposed to do and tell the others. Well, why? Why does it just end on this kind of cliffhanger like this? I think it's because it leaves us still there in that moment. Still there on that first day of the new week. The first day of a new week, not the first week with no Jesus, but the first week with the risen Jesus. The start of a new age, a new era, where Jesus is risen and changes everything. Where Jesus will never die. It's not just the start of a new week, it's actually the start of forever. Where Jesus is the one who's conquered death on our behalf, who died in our place to take our punishment, who's risen to life to break the power of death. See, we're drawn in, aren't we? Still there in the story. Now, the very, very beginning of Mark's gospel, his account of Jesus, his biography, it starts by saying, this is the gospel, which means good news. This is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, gospel was actually a word. The Christian gospel is not the first gospels. There are actually lots of gospels in the ancient world. And what a gospel was, a good news, it was an announcement. And it was an announcement that something big had happened. A new king had arrived. And so when a new king, a Caesar or whoever comes and takes over and the gospel is sent out and the gospel messengers come and they proclaim, hear the good news. You have a new king. He's better than any king that you've had before. Let me tell you about this king. Hear about all these wonderful things he did. Here are the victories he won, the people he subdued, the justice that he brought, the economic benefits that come from this king. Hear the gospel about this king. Well, Mark started his story of Jesus by saying, actually, I have a gospel, a story of a king, a story of the amazing things he did, a story of why him being king is the best news ever. Because he's a king who's gentle and humble. He's a king whose kingdom means the end of sickness and pain and death. A king who sacrifices himself for his sheep, his people. A king who brings peace and forgiveness with God. Mark's whole message of Jesus is this gospel, this good news, this announcement that the king has come. And he finishes on the greatest thing this king ever did. The most amazing victory he ever won. Conquering death. He left us there. After building the argument, he just leaves us hanging. And it's like he leaves a big elephant in the room. Kind of that really obvious question that you're like, everyone's thinking, but no one's ready to ask. And the question is, well, what now? He's risen. The women are there. They're terrified. They run home. What next? If Jesus is risen, what do we do now? What are we going to do? How are we going to respond to Jesus? Well, I think the women's first response is right. It's actually terrifying to realize that this man is the king of all the world. But as then we think back on everything he promised, everything he said, we realize that the king of all the world is our loving king. our loving personal Saviour, the one who gave his life for us and conquered death, so that now death is not the end. Well, this Easter, I want to encourage you to reflect on how wonderful it is that Jesus is risen. I want you to ask that question, well, what now? How am I going to live knowing that the King of all the world really is King, and this is good news?